A little back.
Oh, my goodness!
He reached way back!
6 seconds to go. Giselle pulls up. Missed it short. Bolo is there! It's Krishan Christmas!
Merry Christmas, man.
That's intro is pretty epic. I'm not going to lie, because at least the ending, because Krishan Christmas went into the transfer portal and then he came back out of the transfer portal, and fans in Nacogdoches are ecstatic because it is Merry Christmas for them. It is Thursday evening. Sorry it's taken us so long to get to this point of this podcast episode, but we'll blame it on one of my guests because he was at the Final Four. And then he just decided to like take a couple days off so we couldn't get to it. But we are going to continue on our the second part of our two-part, maybe three-part, I don't even know how many parts we're going to have of this talk about the 2020-21 New Mexico State basketball season. You know, my first guest, Tennessee Owens, was with me on part one, but now we've got like his roomie on trips and stuff like that, Bryce Rewalt. Oh my goodness, it is a packed house. We're trying to get a couple other faces that Aggie fans might have loved to have on this too, but we got two New Mexico State legends here. Guys, like the first episode like took off. I'm not going to lie, it was awesome. Now we're going to talk about like the regular season and getting into conference play and how crazy that was. And one thing I want to throw out, I was at that series that you guys had at GCU. Those first two conference games you played, right? Because the UTRGV games got canceled. And there was a play, you'll remember it. I know you will. Oscar Freyer, alley-oop transition over Johnny. I don't have the clip. I should have gotten it. Like when I watched
No, you're good. You didn't need to show it.
When I watched that tie-on clip in my intro, like that's all I thought about right there. It was like, because I jumped out of my seat when Oscar Freyer got up that high. I'm not going to lie. Like, it was shocking how high he got there. But, guys, how are we doing tonight on this Thursday night? Basketball season's over, I guess. Off season in full swing. But, man.
Yeah, it's that you don't need to show the clip, but I appreciate you bringing it up. Those were fun games to start off the conference slate after what we had to go through. So it was nice ball we got. But, everything's good. I think both of us are just kind of in the midst of our own stuff right now. Us, you know, being in the portal 24/7, which is miserable, but it's also fun to try to get players and remold your roster every year. So
I'll say that dunk, I very vividly remember, you know, you see it on SportsCenter when they're like top 10, when the opposing benches even sometimes will almost want to see them. It was one of those moments. I think I remember.
Yeah, and then you got the Barry Butel, you know, craziness going on the GCU announcer. So we'll leave that alone for now. We'll leave that alone. The first episode we talked about the craziness of the shutdown, the order from the governor, right? Having the individual practices or the like three-man practices and stuff like that. Getting to Phoenix, like Bryce, I want to hear your take on it because we heard Tennessee's take on last time. Yeah. Let's hear your take on like as you're being told all this stuff or what you're, maybe you weren't even told it. Tennessee kind of made it sound like you guys weren't told like all of what was going on.
Yeah. So I mean, this whole experience, I watched the last episode and I mean, I texted Tennessee after and was like, you guys talked about so many things on there, but there were still like, I feel like so many other things that pop up while I'm watching it. But I just remember just those days leading up, we kind of were wondering like, what was going to happen? Were we going to get to move out of those little homes that we were living in? Those were crazy too. But I remember like the day that we were told in that meeting room upstairs, it was like I would say like for myself, probably for Tennessee and for Johnny, like the hometown kids, it was kind of emotional because like all of a sudden you're packing up, you're leaving your family. We all had girlfriends at the time. You know, you've got just friends that we grew up with in that town. And all of a sudden it's like, we'll see you guys. And it may not be till March till we see you again. So I remember that was an intense afternoon and evening. Cause I think, was it the next day we left?
Yeah. We left like 12 hours later.
Yeah.
I mean, we found out in the evening and then just dipped that next day on a bus. And they said, pack two suitcases, pack as if you were coming home in March. So
yes, It's bizarre. It's unreal to think about.
Tell me about these houses. I don't know if we went into detail in episode one. So tell me about these houses. Let's just throw that out there for the fans who are wondering like where you guys were staying during this crazy time.
It's on campus. It's probably like 3 minutes from the gym. And it's, what would you say, T, like 3 or 4 blocks of the cookie cutter? Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, it's called, is it Fort Sumner Village or something?
Yeah, something like
something
that.
But they're rough. They're for married college couples with kids.
With kids,
And then they're like, I mean, it's rough. Like at first you think about it and they're like, oh yeah, that sounds kind of cool. You have your own house and it's free. And then you get in there and you're like, oh.
We didn't have Wi-Fi either.
There's no Wi-Fi. It was cold. There's so many problems with them.
They had a backyard. Each one had its own little backyard though.
Yeah, they were rough though. And then what's funny is that a lot of our, you know, on the like when you're on scholarship, you get a cost of attendance check. So you get money to stay off campus and then, you know, a stipend. So some of our players were staying in like some really nice apartments, like some of the nicest ones in Las Cruces for people in Las Cruces, like the flats, like people will know that, like those are the nicest ones, I would say, closest to university. And then we had a couple guys living there. They were not having it. They were really, really upset. But they were rough though. I mean, Bryce and I lived right next door to each other. Everyone always makes these jokes.
Was it, like, one person per house or did like, oh man.
So it's like a small little, I think it was two bed, one bath. It had a little kitchen, had a little living room and then a backyard. And we all had our own, like we took up this entire block.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that's crazy.
Good time. Did you guys have like fences that separated the backyard? So you like were just talking over the back fences?
Yeah. And they were like four feet high, I think. They were like four feet high little brick walls.
Yeah, like no, exactly. And then I mean you could still talk to one another and like you can go to each other's houses because everybody that was getting tested every day. But I mean it was like some like
you guys didn't do like a trick shot video or something while you're like in over the fences and stuff, like
didn't they all miserable?
What did you guys do during your downtime? Because you had to be creative with stuff.
Sit in misery.
Oh, okay.
All right. So really wait for practice the next day. Wait for the COVID test results.
Yeah.
Okay. Was there ever a thought that like they're just going to shut us down completely for the season? Like, was there ever that thought or that like dark thought in your minds that we're getting this call at some point or another here that they're going to shut us down?
Go ahead, bro.
I think it was in all of our minds just because like the coaching staff did such a good job of keeping us focused on preparing for the season as if it were going to happen. So, but because we weren't really, really having that open dialogue and open conversation with the people who knew what was going on, I think of course it slipped into your mind because I don't think a lot of people thought that, okay, we could just pack up and go. You know, we're not Duke. We're not Kentucky. We don't just have the unlimited money and we're at a mid-major. We're a perennial mid-major, but at the same time, like we don't know what was feasible, what was plausible. So like, I don't know. I think Bryce would agree. Like that type of stuff would probably slipped into everybody's minds.
Well, and I remember too, the governor was every day, she was tweeting like the case numbers, I believe. And I remember in like, I want to say it was like August through September, it had dropped pretty heavily. So we were feeling good about the season. And I remember like in October, all of a sudden there was like a weird spike. And that was when I started to think this may not happen. Because every day it was like a scheduled 4 o'clock tweet that we were like refreshing our Twitter for. And it would show how many positive cases like per county or something. And we had to be below a certain number or whatever. But there were times where it was definitely, I was unsure.
How did you feel, Bryce, about, you know, getting the thing stuck up your nose like on a daily basis to get tested? Tennessee already shared his thoughts. What are your feelings about that?
It's funny because I was like Snapchat will show up like memories from several years ago. And the other day, the video Tennessee and I had recorded ourselves in the car getting our first tests. And like we're in tears because it's like it's not like he said in the last video. It's not like they're just swabbing the inside of your nostril. Like it feels like it's up here. So it was just, that wasn't fun. And then obviously, I'm sure we'll get into it later, but when we're in the bubble and then even like closer to the WAC tournament, it's every single day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. How did, so Let's go through it. And I wish that I would have gotten James Miller on this, because he probably would have been able to break this down a little bit more. But what – when they decided to cancel a series or something, you know, the positive COVID, what was the thing there? Was it just if anybody in your traveling party tested positive, it was over, it was done?
So they would – I think one thing that the NCAA allowed – you could test again. But it had to be before 24 hours before the game. So someone could test, like if we played on a Thursday and someone tested positive on Tuesday, which, and with looking back, it still doesn't make any sense because of the incubation period. But okay, if someone tested positive Tuesday, they're not going to play in that game, obviously. And neither would their roommate. But Wednesday and then Thursday morning, we would test again, I think, right, Bryce, or something like that. We would test game days for sure. And then if everyone was negative by then, everyone would be, you know, both parties would have to agree to play the game. And I think at that point, everybody wanted to play just to be able to play someone other than yourself. Then you could play. But if you tested positive on the day of the game, like, it was just the most deflating feeling ever. Like, when we played at the NAIA, we were supposed to play the day before. And then someone tested positive on their program, and we're like, okay, man, like, here we go. This is already starting. And then, Coach Jans was just like, I mean, I'm telling you, this is going to happen all year long. It's going to happen. Who can fight through it? And we're like, well, coach, this is hard. Like, this is really hard to do. But like, Coach Jans and the rest of the staff, they would tell us pretty, as soon as it happened, they would assess the information and then immediately tell us.
Was there ever a time, Bryce, when you guys were like, well, I shouldn't, did you guys fly places or did you have to bus?
Oh, we flew.
When we went to California, we flew, and that was the whole, we're walking through the airport in like a, in like a little bubble. But I mean, if we pop positive, we weren't flying back. We were driving back.
Were you guys ever like at the airport and somebody called and said, hey, there's somebody positive in your, or did that never happen with you guys?
I don't think ever when we were at the airport, but there were definitely times when we were like in a group setting and we found out and we all just kind of look at each other like everyone had some strange disease. And we couldn't know at that moment who it was, but there were definitely times when we were all in a group setting and
I was one of them.
Yeah, I mean,
I have no problem saying that. We all tested.
They never told specifically who had the positive in like the group setting.
They eventually would tell
when they weren't. Well, you'd like, find out when they weren't at film the next day.
Well, yeah, I get that. I'm like, in the moment, though, they don't tell you who.
No, oh, no, no, no. And then in our group chat, like sometimes I think like loosely people would get excited because it means they wouldn't have to practice. like, but then obviously, like, I'm talking about the people that didn't have it. They're like, oh, nice. Yeah, I remember I got it. We all tested. And then like 20 minutes later, they're like, hey, Tennessee, can you come back over here? And then I tested again, and then I had it, and I had it bad that time. I couldn't smell or taste or anything, and that's like a feeling I don't want to wish on anybody. But man,
that's crazy. We're making light of this whole thing, kind of in the you know, but it's like, this is a reality, folks. Like, this was a crazy, crazy, crazy time. You know, you guys were supposed to play UTRGV. I believe it was on the road. No, it was going to be in Las Cruces, but was that before they figured out that you guys were going to play in El Paso? So that's why it got postponed.
Someone tested positive. Oh no. Coach Hill died.
Was that the same weekend?
That was why they didn't play it. So, and then we ended up playing in El Paso later. We only played one game. So we didn't play the game because of that reason. Is that right, Bryce? I think that's why. I think Coach Hill had passed.
And was then, that the same weekend? I feel like it.
I can't remember off the. I remember it being a reason we didn't do something, but maybe it was either a positive case or it was the fact that Coach Hill had passed away. And then we ended up playing because I remember when we played them. He was not there. They had the suit and the, you know, peace and
it
love.
It was two weekends after that.
Okay.
Two weekends after that because so it must have been a positive on their part. Because they were supposed to host Grand Canyon 2 weeks after you guys. And I was supposed to go down there for that. But Grand Canyon tested positive, so they canceled that series. Then UTRGV had scheduled Texas Southern that Sunday night. And then Monday morning was the news. in early February. So there must have been a positive somewhere on one of the sides. But, guys, like, when did they tell you that you were officially going to play in El Paso? Like, when did they tell you guys you're going? That's where you're going to – and did you guys stay down there to practice, or did you drive back and forth?
So real quick, before we get to the El Paso part, and I don't know how many people actually know this, but we were prepped to play our home games before we went back to El Paso in the GCU practice gym.
Well, that's right.
So they had like put all the bleachers up, but brought all of like our sponsor signage and it was hung up on all that. So we were practicing there a lot, but yeah, I think it was what, late January we found out we were going back.
It was like January 23rd or 24th when we came back. And then the reason we came back is because they allowed us to practice. So we practiced in Las Cruces, tested every single day. And then we played at, I can't remember the name of the high school, but it was a really nice high school.
Eastwood.
We played at Eastwood, but I remember we practiced there. Was it like once or twice before we played there? And then we'd stay. So I think, Kyle, to answer your question, we stayed the night for the Friday, Saturday games in El Paso.
Okay.
Right next to the airport.
So wait. Let's go back to this. You were able to, first off, what was it like practicing on GCU's campus? I mean, it's probably nice you got to practice, but like, that's GCU. Like, and I know Aggie fans won't say it, but like the hatred that is there between these two schools, or at least fan bases, like, come on, guys. Anyways, so what was it like practicing there, first off? Let's answer that question.
It was like, it felt normal. Cause like there, a lot of the times you'll go throughout the year and you'll practice at these different arenas. But, the fact that it was in the practice gym, and their practice gym is like, it's called Antelope Gym, and it's pushed back by the baseball fields. And it doesn't even look like you're about to walk into a gym. It just looks like your normal small little,
so you weren't in their actual practice facility. You were in another gym.
No, we were, it was like on the opposite side.
The volleyball team, it was the volleyball team's practice facility.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But I just remember how bizarre it was seeing like our people come, like members of our athletic department showing up with, you know, Memorial Medical Center signage, like our local hospital, and all of like our sponsors and putting up these signs. And then that's when you start to realize like, this is where we're about to start playing home games.
Yeah. And they didn't tell us that. Like we were just, you know, like I said, they did such a good job of just making sure we were ready for practice and ready for the game. And then Coach Jans, he would just come in and we'd practice, and then people would start coming in, like Bryce said. And Coach was probably like, it's just going to make them unfocused. Yeah. But yeah, they would come in with all sorts of sponsors and big old like vinyl signs to put in there, cause there weren't going to be any fans in there. So unless you test, like you did like multiple negative tests, cause that's how you could get into the bubble. Just so you know, Kyle, unless you had to test for like, you had to test negative for, I think, a week straight before you could enter the bubble.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
a lot of info.
So you guys get to practice in Las Cruces, like full practices.
Yeah. That was why we came back.
But you couldn't play a full game.
Couldn't play.
You see what I'm seeing here? I know you dealt with this, but like, that is bizarro to me.
It was probably the most frustrating concept to try to understand.
The whole thing was about, if I'm thinking correct, the whole thing was that Governor Lujan Grisham didn't want people coming into the state. But what made no sense to, like, I think a lot of the people, we're like, we were going to leave the state to El Paso and to other places and then come back in. So then that kind of makes us what she didn't want. But I don't know. Like, we were tested more than anybody in the entire state.
It's all about being safe. We get that. You know, you want to keep people healthy and you want to make sure people aren't getting sick. I get it to a sense. But the fact that they let you have full practices in your own gym, that's weird to me when they've said you couldn't before. Second off is that you guys have to travel to different places to play. And so you're going to bring it back anyways. So what's the difference? Third, El Paso is like an hour south of Las Cruces. So what in the world is the difference? One little state line, guys. That's it. One little state line. Like, I'm sorry, this makes me emotional because it's like, this is so bizarro. And I was the one that had to deal with it.
I would say the other frustrating part too, and again, Tennessee can attest to this, is like, you go to GCU, and granted, you know, they're not letting everyone in, it's at capacity, but it's loud and there's people in there. You get on, you watch a game on ESPN. I remember we watched a Texas Tech game. That place was like 50% full.
Yep.
And we can't play a freaking home game
with nobody in there.
Drive down to El Paso to do it in a high school gym was just, it was the most frustrating, I think, like couple of months for us.
Sure. 100%. So, okay. I got to ask this. The UTRGV series canceled at that time, right? Because of a positive COVID. Then you guys start off at GCU. You've practiced. So wait, here's what I want to know. You guys were in Phoenix. Then you came back home.
Yeah.
And then you went right back to Phoenix.
Okay.
There was also some talks like, do we just stay until we play them? But everyone was so over being in that bubble that we were so down to just go back for 5 days and then come back. That's what it was. And there's probably a money thing involved, like paying for another week, but everyone was over it. We're like, okay, we need to go home. And then we ended up coming back like 6 days later.
Okay. What'd you think of the cardboard bands that all these arenas had? You guys didn't have that at the high school, I don't think. I don't think they put that up. Like, you go to these other places, cardboard fans, did it really make a difference?
No.
It was more creepy than anything. Like, I work at Texas Tech now, and the person I share my office with, she worked here at Texas Tech during that time, and they did the same thing. And, like, they made it a thing where fans could pay, I don't know what it was, $5-$10, and they would send in a headshot cut out of themselves to the athletic department, and they would go through and you have your own seat. But I don't know. It was whatever. I mean, they still had a lot of kids at those games. I remember it. I looked at Tennessee and was like, for this being whatever percent capacity it was loud in there.
Yeah.
So it's
Mexico State, GCU. What do you expect?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah, it just wasn't a good draw. They were in a different place. They were healthy. We had been through so much, and we also were injured. And I always say this, anytime like when we're in practice and the coaching staff is like prepping Bryce and I to play, that's when you know you're screwed. Like because that was what it was. The whole season, Bryce and I are like, and like, I get it. We can shoot the ball, but like we definitely had some weaknesses. But the funniest thing was that when you could tell we were being relied on in like an emergency setting to like contribute. And it was the funniest thing ever. Cause you could see the stress. You're like, well, you might have to throw these guys out there.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love to hear that. There was a question I had and now I can't remember what it was. Okay, so let's get back to this high school gym. It looked like a JUCO gym. I'm not going to lie. Like, it looked like a legit JUCO gym. What'd you guys think of it? Like,
it was nice. It was
pretty nice.
Yeah, it was a really nice gym. College
level. Yeah, from what I've seen at the high school level, and obviously New Mexico high school sports are at a much lower level than everywhere across the country. But, I mean, I would argue it was better than, like, the Seattle Redhawk gym.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I'm trying to think of other schools like
Southland Conference, where they're kind of playing in a high school setting. Like, oh yeah,
that was fun. The Seattle gym. That was a fun place to go to.
No, that was a shooter's gym.
Yeah, that was fun.
I heard a rim was bent. One of the rims is like sometimes like
lower. Seattle.
Maybe it was an excuse by a team that just shot really poorly.
Well, we didn't shoot that great. That much anyway, so we would just out defend you and out rebound you and outwork you. We never really shot that great. We shot a lot of threes though. Didn't make a lot of them, but we shot a lot of them.
Yeah. Oh, Seattle, good times. So I gotta ask you, guys played in the Haskins Center that year too, but you didn't play UTEP. You played Western Carolina, if I look
Western at it. Western Mexico.
Was it Western New Mexico? No, yeah. It was. Oh, that's UTRGVs.
I don't know. RGV there too.
It was Western New Mexico. How weird was it to play at the Haskins Center and it wasn't against UTEP?
Yeah, that was weird. And it's and what made it even weirder is obviously these games against Western and Northern are games that Tennessee and I are going to play in just because of the opponent. And but not only that, but it's just like they didn't let anyone into that arena too. So you're talking about a Haskins Center with nobody in it and you're playing against Western and like you could hear a pin drop in that place. And, but it was bizarre. Just the fact that we're in UTEP's arena locker room and you're going out and you're not even playing the Miners.
I just want to point out here in that Western New Mexico game, New Mexico State won 70-41. Bryson, Tennessee combined for 3 points and a whopping 1 for 9 from 1 for 10 from the field.
We didn't shoot that well.
Bad. It was
two rebounds and 2 personal fouls in a combined 22 minutes. So I just wanted to point that out. You both got in the box score. So I mean that works.
We were both like really upset after the game too.
Yeah, that was a rough bus ride home.
We were both really frustrated. Like because the problem is like so Coach Jans. Oh, this is a funny story. You'll like if we didn't shoot like 60% from 3 in practice, Coach would tell us it wasn't good enough from 3. Like he's like, wow. He would come in and he'd be like, Bryce, 51, not good enough. It's all about from 3. So, you know, and we would shoot it really well. And like, I'll say this scout team, there's less pressure, less stress. You can shoot the ball freely, but we shot it really well. And then to lay an egg like that against it in a game where, you know, we were going to play, that sucked. I wasn't pleased with my performance.
You know, I want to know what the razzing is from your teammates on the bus ride home. Like, cause you know, when you go in the game, those guys are like, shoot the dang ball, get in the bucket, do the like. I want to know what the razzing's like for you when you have a game like that, when you finally get in and you just don't, you're not shooting those 60%.
No. And I think what makes it even worse is you're playing against buddies you grew up against, playing against because it's Western. So there's guys from Crucis on that team that, you know, and just across the state and, oh, but we hear it. The teammates, they give it to us. They give it to us.
All right. Let's get into this whack place. So you start off at GCU, not a friendly place, you know, at that time, you lose both games, right? And that was the year that they want to share the regular season title. You lose actually 3 straight because you lost the first game to California Baptist. Just what's it like? I mean, the motions of finally you're getting consistent games, but now it's not going maybe the way. But I mean, with all you dealt with, there's, I guess, what's the emotion going on after you lose those games? Because it's GCU, obviously.
Yeah, they it sucked because, like I alluded to earlier, they were healthy. They were in a different place. They didn't have to go through what we went through in the fall. They didn't go 40 something days without playing a game or I think it was 30 days, like almost twice. We had the most canceled games in the country that year, if I'm not mistaken. It just felt like, first of all, I think everybody would agree with it. It felt like we had to win the first game. Cause just, we gave it everything we had and we competed with them. And I remember Coach Jans in the locker in the meeting room after, he's like, if we just play a little bit harder, a little bit smarter, we'll win. And I think we were in the game in the first game throughout the whole thing. In the second game, I think we might've just ran out of gas. And then obviously losing to Cal Baptist, we're 0-3, we're staring at a hole. And there were some meetings that we had, try to get things right. Guys, I think we're probably not as far along as us and the program thought we would be. But I mean, we figured it out, but it was still like right there when we're 0-3, which is uncharted territory for New Mexico State basketball under Coach Jans. Like there, it was, we were dealing with some feelings that not a lot of people had felt before.
How challenging, and people don't realize this, you know, they think, oh, you just get in the gym, you can work out, you can shoot, you know, whatever. But how challenging is it to, one, not be able to practice as a full team consistently, two, to have so many like different situations popping up? Oh, we're going to be here, or else we have to do this. Oh, we have to go here, or, you know, we're not practicing our own gym. We can't even play in our own gym. Like, there's so much stuff that's taking away from the focus. I know you talked about Jans and the staff and all them keeping you guys, trying to keep you guys focused, but like, you guys are 19 to 22, 23 year olds, and you're dealing with all this. Like, that plays into the start to the season where you didn't have that consistency. Like you said, it was two games for over 30 days or something. But like, that has to play into this as you get into the conference play, right? Like that injuries aside, which that goes to the portion of you weren't able to practice a lot or work out enough or whatnot. I can't even imagine, don't want to imagine what it was like, you know, dealing with all of that.
And I think another thing is like, there were days or weeks when we'd have a home game. I think we were trying to implement, hey, let's drive down there and practice today, and then we'll drive back. So I think it was like, if we had a Friday, Saturday, which most of them were, I think that Wednesday is when we would come down to El Paso, drive from Cruces to El Paso to practice for 2.5 hours and then drive back. So it's like an hour to and from just to go practice in your home gym, in comparison to a 5-minute drive to the Pan Am Center, practicing there in a place you're going to play, that you're used to. So like, even stuff like that, you don't think about. It's a one, let's see, it's like a 6-hour day to and from El Paso just to get a practice in there.
So you had one practice at that high school gym per week when you played at home.
That's normally, sometimes I don't know if we ever did twice a week, but I know it was always once a week. We definitely would go down there to practice just to get a good feel for the gym and just get your shot right in that gym, because the depth perception is different, right, than a normal arena. But I know that was mainly what we did.
Did you guys stay down there did you guys go back on Thursday and stay Thursday night, play Friday, Saturday, and come home? Or did you go down
Friday
of the Friday game?
Friday morning-ish. Friday, maybe like at 11 or 12.
So you didn't even get to, you got to sleep in your own beds, but like, then you have a bus ride, which even though it's not terribly long, it's still a bus ride. And like, instead of like just driving your car over in your comfort zone. And
yeah, it would be wake up Friday.
We'd leave at like 10 actually.
Yeah. Meet at the gym, get on the bus, drive down there, do our game day walkthrough, shoot around, go check into the hotel, film, eat, nap, whatever you want to do until the game. We'd play the game, come back to the hotel, film, whatever, wake up the next day and play. And then
as soon as the game was over Saturday, you guys were on the bus back to Las Cruces?
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
And then practice Monday.
When teams are flying in to El Paso and just driving to their hotel and just chilling.
Yeah.
You guys, oh my God.
There wasn't much of like an advantage. Like that, it was seriously like a level playing field. It's like you're playing at a neutral site.
I get it. But like, in terms of what fans are thinking, like that has to, I don't know. It's almost like, I don't know.
It almost made you wish.
It's like Southern Utah having to go to SFA to play a game on a Thursday and then flying back
home
to host GCU, who's just coming up on a nice, easy charter flight.
Yeah, those are fun. Thanks, Kyle. That trip's fun, man.
Hey, we could go into – that's a whole nother episode that we go into, but we won't go into that right now. Okay, so lose 2 straight to GCU, put you behind the 8-ball. You lose that game – first game at Eastwood High School to the California Baptist. You score 97 points in the second game against Cal Baptist. Finally got it going. Like, was there any kind of discussion, team meeting, anything after the first Cal Baptist game, or was it just, you know what, we're going to get right back to work?
Oh no, there was a team meeting. It wasn't long, but it was like, hey, we're not playing how we should be playing. At the end of the day, there's two baskets and there's lines around a court, and you got to perform. Like, all that stuff's behind us. And I think, granted, I don't think we shot the ball very well or scored it very well the first night. And then obviously we scored 97 points the next night.
Well, you scored 75 in the first game.
That means we didn't guard them then.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
What was Coach Jans's message to the team after you give up 85 points? Cause I know, like you said, his teams don't give up 85 points.
It was bad.
I don't remember what it was, but I remember that Friday night meeting in the hotel conference room. It felt like a come to Jesus meeting, and it was hard. Like, it was definitely hard. And you're talking again to two guys who, like, historically, we know, even without Coach Jans there, like before Coach Jans, like the Paul Weir, Marvin Menzies, Reggie Theestays, like, it's obviously just known for being such a premier college basketball mid-major program. And to be 0-3 in conference, like Tennessee said, was uncharted territory. And I don't know if the other guys on the team realized how significant it was, but like,
yeah,
us two, Johnny and guys like who had been around the program for a few years understood. And it was that night. I'll never forget that Friday night.
Yeah, that was one.
I was going to say, you guys had some new faces on that team that maybe didn't understand the culture at the time. Like, I'm not nothing against them, but like, I think Evan Gilliard had been at UTEP. Yeah, that was his first year with you guys. Donnie Tillman, that was his first year there. Like, there were some guys that hadn't been there that understood what it was about playing at New Mexico State at the time.
And I remember feeling bad for them because, like, in the off season, and we probably shouldn't have been hyping it up like this, but like telling them, like, the Pan Am Center, it's one of the coolest places you're going to get to play. Like, this place is rocking every night for a smaller school, or even when like the Lobos and Grand Canyon comes to town. And all of a sudden we get to the season and those guys don't get to experience that. Was unfortunate for them too. So I think like it was a completely different year. And I think that definitely played a role in maybe not the guys being not as bought in, but they just didn't understand, I guess, what was at stake with this team.
That's what it was.
Tradition goes a long way, man.
Yeah. What, Kyle, what was the game? Who did we play after Cal Baptist? Was that the Utah Valley series?
Seattle U. You went 1-1 up at Seattle U.
Oh, that was the thing. We started splitting, and then that was like our kryptonite. We couldn't win two in a row. Yep. And then Utah Valley was after Seattle?
Yep. You split with them. You probably should have won both because you only lost by 3 in the first one, and then you beat them by 7. So – but, yeah, it's like you said, the kryptonite was the whole splitting every series until basically the last one, because it looked like you only played UTRGV once.
That's correct, yeah, because we wanted to get one more game in. And then I remember this vividly. Is we went to Utah Tech after, right?
Yeah, well, it was Dixie State at the time, Tennessee. It was Dixie State.
I'm aware.
Okay, all right. Just so we're clear on that.
I know it was Dixie State, but we went down there, and I think the practices leading up to it, like Art. So we won the second Utah Valley game, and then we beat RGV, mm-hmm. and practices were it felt like what Coach Jans would call Aggie basketball. Like, it was grimy, it was, you know, like, I mean, it was just, I mean, I could go into all the things you could call. I mean,
let's look at it here. You didn't give you held Utah Valley to 66 points in one game, 60 in the other. The Seattle U, that second game that you beat them, you held them to 58. You split with Tarleton, but you held them to 51 in the first game and 64 in the loss. UTRGV, you held them to 51. And then both the Dixie State games, you held them below – well, one was 66 and the other one was 56. So muddying the waters is probably accurate.
We felt really good. Like, we were the worst one was the because we won the first Tarleton game, correct?
It was the you did by 27 points.
Yeah, that was what sucked because we ended up having to fly back after the loss. Like, and that's never fun. You never want to leave.
How did you beat them by 27 points and then lose the next night? What is that all about?
So I will say and I know that they were doing this across the country, but the Friday Saturday dynamic is bizarre because you're used to Thursday Saturdays,
yeah,
and it's two different teams. But I think the fact that you're playing the same team twice in less than the 24-hour span, not this is no excuse by any means, but I'm saying it's a completely different way that college basketball was being played that year. And it brought a bunch. Like, I think did we have guys that didn't play the first night or played the first night, and didn't play the second?
Someone didn't play that night. But the thing is, like, to add off of that, there's a sense of desperation when you're playing after losing. on a back to back, especially against the second team, the same team. Like, obviously, like, I'm a firm believer, like, you're not going to shoot it as bad as you shot it the night before against the same team. You're playing
Evan in your sorry, Tennessee. Evan didn't play in the second
game. Right. That was EG. So, but that's, I mean, that's what it is. Like, Bryce is 100% correct. But we were still playing really well. Practices were going really well. And then leading into those, we were having no positive cases when we were playing down in St. George against Dixie State. And we felt really good going into the WAC tournament. And I think everyone else was like, okay, here they come. That's, I know for a fact that's what was going on, because Utah Valley was, I think, the 2 seed. We were the 3 seed. They, I know for a fact, like, if I asked Coach Madsen, he was not looking, he was not happy when we got to, when we moved all the way up to the 3 seed. He was hoping we'd stay between or at 4 or 5 at 4 or 5. And just because it's just hard to beat us in March. Like, this is what it is. And it's like Bryce said earlier, it doesn't matter who the coach is. Like, there's always been great coaches, great players at this place. And in March, New Mexico State, I mean, it's hard. You're a tough out. So we were playing really well. And that was finally when things started to feel normal.
Okay, so let's go through this here. We're gonna get to the end of the regular season. We're gonna record a part three, boys, because we're gonna get into that WAC tournament. Like, we've gone 41 minutes. I'm so happy with what we put out, because I know this is stuff that Aggie fans have been wanting to hear about, what this season was all about. Like, this is awesome. We'll get in that WAC tournament on the next episode. But I want to go through this, these last – oh, let's see. From that Tarleton loss. Okay, so you beat Tarleton by – so let's start with Utah Valley on February 20th. You beat them by 7, right? Go to Tarleton. Their first year in the WAC, I might add, beat them by 27. Then you lose that Saturday by 9 to them. That was the last loss until – we'll get to that date later in another episode.
Okay.
But you won by 18 over UTRGV, beat Dixie State by 10 in the first game. Then you beat them by 12 in the second game. Next episode, guys, we'll talk about what they did in the WAC tournament. And like Tennessee said, I don't think anybody wanted to see the Aggies in Las Vegas. I love it. We're smiling. We're having fun, right? Like, this is awesome.
It's easier to look back on it now.
you still, you know, that I will say this, Utah Valley won to share the regular season title that year. So thank you for having COVID issues in the state of New Mexico. and, you know, we had the WAC player of the year and the WAC defensive player of the year that you guys actually held down pretty well in all 3 games. We'll be real about that. So,
one thing I'll add, and this may, it's a little off topic, but like, you know, you see, and you see it at Mississippi State now, like whenever there's a post game video of, you know, Coach Jans dancing after a big win, water flying. I remember that first win over Cal Baptist, that happened in the locker room. And I remember thinking, like, you know, in normal circumstances, that would be a game where we come back in there, we won, coach tells us good job, and we hit the showers, we go home.
Yeah.
But I think the culmination of that year and how much stress and how much it just weighed on our shoulders to get that first conference win. Looking back, like, there were a couple games, I think we did it for Utah Valley too, where coach came in there, did his dance, water was flying. And then you think about it, it's like, that maybe that wasn't necessarily a game that he normally does that stuff, but that's just how momentous those games felt.
So it wasn't just a one-time thing then. Right.
It was, I would say, Calbap in Utah Valley for sure. The celebration was.
Yeah. And then possibly the second one in St. George, because it was 2 in a row. We finally, maybe not even that one though. And then certainly not in the WAC tournament. Like, we were so locked in. And then we just ran into an unstoppable force in Mitt Guard.
Did he ever? Okay. Then the question is, did he ever do it the following season, 2021-22, when you guys basically steamrolled your – well, I don't want to say steamrolled, because, you know, Chicago State made sure that you guys didn't steamroll your way to a regular season title. I know it hurts. It hurts. But that was their going away gift, though. That was because they left the WAC after that year. So, but did he ever do it the next season when you guys, you know, went until – maybe he did it at the WAC tournament championship game after you guys won.
You got to ask Johnny. We weren't there.
Yeah, we were goners.
Oh, you guys were done after the 21.
We didn't get to experience an NCAA tournament win, which is the worst thing ever. That's what Bryce and I talk about more than anything, is like the fact that we didn't get to experience. I got to experience the Auburn game, and that
Heartbreak
wasn't
City,
fun.
Man. Heartbreak City.
But yeah, and then but we were gone. But even Bryce and I talk about it, we can end off this, is like, you know, we're so used to dominating the WAC and not losing games in the WAC that, like, I think they lost four games in the WAC, and Bryce and I were like, oh man, four losses in the WAC. How is that? What's going on?
Well, they had the regular season title wrapped up. Then they're not healthy when they go to Chicago State, right? And they lose that game on a buzzer beater. So now it sets them back a game. Then they lose at home to SFA.
Rare.
In that second to last game of the regular season, to set up a winner must win game on the final day of the regular season. I was there for that when, if you remember right, Johnny proposed to his girlfriend after the game.
That's right. I was there.
Yeah,
I was there. That was my first trip to Las Cruces, man.
That's right. I remember that.
So good times. Good times. There was another thing I was going to ask you guys. Oh, okay. So last question before we end this episode. Like I said, we're going to have part three, everybody, where we talk about the WAC tournament. This has been fantastic. I know Aggie fans love this stuff, so I'm great. I'm glad that we finally got this put together, Tennessee. Like, it's awesome. And we got Bryce on, too. He'll be on the next one, too. Like, he's got to be on the next one. So, what was I going to ask now? Oh, 2019 Auburn game. Should AJ Harris have just gone in and laid it up, or would he have got a shot blocked?
No, he shouldn't. It was a great shot. It was a great pass. The guy was coming right on his back. Like, he was right behind him. He was right on his shoulder. He would have, I think he was definitely going to block it. Yep. And I think AJ being as a phenomenal player as he was, I think that he felt it and he definitely made the right choice. Terrell Brown, our best free throw shooter, just didn't make him. It's okay. And then we had a wide open look, and sometimes it doesn't go in, and I think a lot of things happened for a reason, and we ended up got what we got 2 or 3 years later. And it just so happens to be that we are the last team to beat them in the tournament.
I let all my Lubbock people know about that every day too.
Nice. Nice. I think there was a picture that came out on AJ's layup or like his attack that you could see the Auburn guy like had a hand up right above him, was ready to block that shot from behind. I will say this, Terrell Brown did not practice the day before because he was sick, if I remember right.
That's correct.
So he may not have been at 100% when he stepped up to the line to shoot those free throws. So best free throw shooters, when they aren't feeling all there, that could play into it. Anyways, I was heartbroken because I was sitting right behind the bench covering that game that year. And when Trevlin threw up that corner shot, it was a good look too, like – he hits that 80% of the time. Oh, heartbreak. But anyways, we'll be bringing you part three probably next week again. We'll set it up. And everybody, thanks for tuning in. These two are awesome. And these are great stories, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks for listening to the Straight Outta WAC podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other podcasting platforms. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Remember to follow us on Twitter at WAC Hoops Digest and Facebook under WAC Hoops Digest for all your WAC Hoops news and information.